It's one of the mornings, you know, you're trying to rush, get somewhere, get dressed, can't find your socks, not clean. Let us pray, guys. Father, Lord, you know that, Lord, we need you. I need you. Oh God, apart from you, we can do nothing. And Lord, we thank you this morning for your kindness and your goodness, Lord. Lord, you've brought us here at this appointed hour, this appointed time. I ask, oh God, that you might use me, Lord, that I might be an encouragement to the brethren, Lord, that I might be a vessel used by you. Lord, I just thank you for this day. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've been thinking over, I guess, the past, probably all the way since the Vegas incident and a couple of tragedies and catastrophes that's been happening across our world. And the Lord just brought to me Luke 13, 1 and 5, 1 through 5. And that's where we'll be this morning. Don't really have nothing long and exhausted, but I just pray that the Lord might use this. I'm going to read starting at 13:1. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Are those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you all likewise perish." I was thinking about actually driving in my car. You know, sometimes we're in our vehicles and we're taking a ride, and you know, we can look out the window and we can see everything that's happening on the outside. Sometimes you might see a family arguing, kids playing, the trees, and all of these different things that take place when we're driving in our vehicles or riding in our vehicles. But one thing stood out to me. A lot of times when we're in our vehicles and we're moving along in our daily lives, looking at things outside, it caught my attention that sometimes when we're looking through the mirror, we miss something that's very important. It's our reflection. We see everything that's taking place on the outside, and we miss our reflection. You could actually see yourself. Maybe a little dim, but it's there, yourself. It's kind of like this scenario here. Pretty much the way they approach our Lord and they question him. And I'm just going to start once again, just going to read it again. At that very time, who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. One thing in my brief study, and it was brief, personally, I couldn't find that scenario. What happened there? It was no actual account of this scenario there for me to find. So I'm pretty much, if we went back through history and checked history and tried to locate this actual scenario that actually happened, I couldn't see the actual event here that happened, but we know it happened. And what happened here was, we know one thing for sure, that Pilate was cruel. So whatever that did take place at this particular moment, we know that Pilate must have laid out his wrath on these group of people. And what he did was of such wickedness that it caused them to bring it up to Christ. But when they brought it up to Christ, they brought it up like riding down that street. They're looking at it from the outside. And look how our Lord answers. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way?" I don't know about you, but sometimes you will find a catastrophe like Vegas, and you'll hear people say things like, "Man, God poured his wrath out on them. They were wicked. They were there drinking and they were partying and they was doing all of these ungodly things. And so God poured his wrath out on those people in Vegas." That was for their wickedness and that was for their sinfulness. Once again, we're riding down, we're looking out. And Jesus had said to them, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way?" And brethren, right here, I just want to encourage us to not always look at things at face value, if you can understand what I mean when I say that. You see a person going through tremendous sufferings or something that rains down on a person's family or something that's tragic that takes place in their lives, and then we just look at it at face value and just say, "Oh, those wicked people. Or this wicked individual, or this or that." Remember that window. And so Jesus approaches it the way it really is. Jesus tells them, "Do you think that what took place in their lives is because they are worse sinners?" When I hear that, to me, Jesus is laying it out on the line that, hey, wait a minute. No one is righteous. All men have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. So God lays it out. He lays it right out on the table. He puts it right out there that says, hey, wait a minute. You look at that mirror, they're sinful too. And it's only by God's grace and God's mercy and his kindness that those individuals that were not murdered, were not harmed, were not hurt in Vegas, that it was that way. It was only by the grace of God. You look at it sometimes, I know me, I'm prone to it. You look at it and you say, how did thing happen? I would have did this. Why they didn't do that? I would have grabbed my wife, my kids. I would have. Wait a minute. Only by God's mercy and grace that those whom wasn't hit, they wasn't hit. So many people think they are so much better than others. I had to be truthful with you. If the standard is individuals, that might be true. You look at the mirror, you maybe look at your neighbor, and your neighbor is a whoremonger, or he's a just absolute drunkard, and if he's your mirror, you might be a pretty nice individual. But your neighbor is not the standard. Christ, God's word, God's holiness, his righteousness, his own holy perfection, goes on and it says, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." He goes on, "Are those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? It's like saying, how about this hurricane that just passed through? It just went through. It just wreaked havoc across the Texas coast. It's like you saying, huh? Yeah, those wicked people down there in Texas, they're pretty wicked, man. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Just think about that word he uses there. He uses that word all. You know, in this room today, to me, in actually reality, this is how I look at it personally. In this room, there's either those that are Christians and those that are not. You've either been born again or you're lost. But even to those of us that are in Christ, we also have to take this word at heart. Why? Because we can sit in here sometimes and the message could be coming through the pulpit or through the words of God's vessel and begin to think, I heard that before. Don't apply to me. You're up there talking about repent. I done repented already. I'm good. Check out. Start doing something else. No, brothers. No. Bible I read is we are people. Our lives is a life of repentance. We're not finished. We're still here. God's still being kind and merciful towards us. Let's go here. Put here is sometimes we look at it like it's all about another person's sin and their judgment coming from the hand of God. And we're never including ourselves. Always looking out. Always another person. And never ourselves. Where does that leave us? It's not a good place to be. In this account, it seems to me that they had brought the accusation of somewhat, I'm going to call it an accusation for word's sake, for me, that the reason why this had happened to those guys is because of their utter wickedness. The reason why God had poured his wrath out or he had allowed these injustices to happen to them is because of their sinfulness. Who were them to make that account? And then, even if it was that, what gave them the right to exclude themselves from that as though they had some righteousness of their own? It's like they just kind of pulled themselves away from it and just like, God got them. You ever heard people say that? Something cruel happens to somebody and they feel like God has paid them back. And then you flip it over the other way and something good happens to them. And it's like, oh, God bless them. It's a distorted view. It's distorted. It doesn't automatically mean because somebody's life seems to be in order that God has blessed them. May have been kind towards them, but it's not automatic. But Jesus reminds them that just because they're suffered in this way doesn't excuse you. Jesus is saying, hold on. You see what just happened there to them? Do you recognize one of the purposes of this happening to them? It is me showing you my kindness and my goodness that it might lead you to repentance. What do you mean? The clock is running. All around us, men are dying. One here, two there, five here, 1,000 there. What time do you have to be trying to size that up? Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And believe me, every single person in this room fit that category at some point or another. And we're still here, those that are in Christ. We're still here. We're still prone to sin. But we can't look at situations like that and just say that this person or that person are being paid for their situation and miss the big picture. What's the big picture? It wasn't you. It was not you in that car wreck last night. It wasn't you that had a heart attack last night. And it wasn't your workout schedule or your diet plan or your way you eat that stopped you from being in that situation either. It was God's mercy, his kindness, and his goodness towards you. Away with that. The way we think. The way we look at situations. The truth of the matter is this. Our God is kind. He's a God of love. But at the same time, he calls each and every one to repent. They didn't see it that way. At that moment, they didn't see it that way. They had what I call a distorted view. In the same thing he said about the 18, the tower of Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? It's like saying, do you think those ones that died in Vegas and those that made it, the ones that made it, were any less sinful than the ones that didn't? No. Man, Jesus answers it for us. We don't even think about it. He says, no. Then he says, and I tell you, lest you repent, you will likewise perish. And personally, in studying this, I don't think he meant like perish and like we're going to die. Why? Because we all going to die. We know that. It's appointed to man once to die, then the judgment. We're all going to die physically. I believe that the Lord was saying, you won't have eternal life. That's what this is all about, eternal life. That you might know the one and only true God in Jesus Christ, whom he sent. I'm gonna turn real quick to John 9. And I'm just going to read I'm going to read 1 through 3. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. Listen to this. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? See what I mean? These are the disciples now. They just glance at him and they's like, Master, teacher, who sinned? This guy's blind. He must have did some sinful sin, or his family or somebody cast out some wickedness. Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. What'd he say? He said, this ain't got nothing to do with no sin right here. I got a plan. I got a purpose. And this blind man is a part of it. Talking to his disciples, though. That's us, brothers. That's us, sisters. He's looking at them. He's saying, don't make judgments like that. Go back to Luke. It's like, unless you repent. A lot of times you're just, you're in the midst of conversations, and the things that you hear, it's troubling. It's troubling. The question is always, people want to find someone to blame and why this thing happened. It's almost like if we gotta, right now in Vegas, you know the biggest problem? People are upset, more or less, because the man is dead. They want to know why he did it. What was his reason? That doesn't matter. It's a done deal. What matters is each and every one in this room still has breath. And unless ye repent, you will all likewise perish. What do you mean? I know everybody up in here ain't born again. And I know pretty much quite a few in here. I know I do from time to time like to take a look at the news. And when I'm looking at the news, oh, man. Well, you got to go get a bucket of water to drink after that, because it's like death, troubles, chaos all over. It's like, golly, it's madness. All over the world. But you haven't been caught up in it. So what does that say? Remember, we're riding in this car, and you're looking out the window, and you're seeing everything that's happening out the window. Oh, that man is wrong. Look at that drunken man. Threw that bottle in the street. Oh, look at that girl. Oh, put some clothes on. But you forget. That window, that glass, is your reflection in it. What about you? Lest thou repent, you all likewise perish. We can't take sin lightly, brother. I'm talking about us as believers. We can't take it lightly. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. We need to confess it and forsake it. And press for. To those that is lost, the only hope is Christ for sinful men. That is the only hope. And one thing I know about this life, time is moving very, very fast. I just think back. We was up in that restaurant down the street having services, and most of these little kids were babies or not even born. And now I look around, some of them married. They done grew up and graduated. This reminds me, time is moving very, very fast. What does that mean? It's only a few ticks away from that being one of us. That's it. It's over. Now someone is saying the same thing that they're saying about you. Well, God poured his wrath out on him. Today is the day of salvation. What do you mean? No, today. Like right now. Right now it's time to seek the Lord. Why? Because if you're on that side and you breathe your last breath and you have not gotten right with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's over. It's hell. It's too late. Doesn't matter what men say about you at your funeral, nor what people think about you. It's where do you stand with this Christ? Have you repented of your sin? As Christ told them. A few more moments, brethren. Jesus said, no, I tell you, but unless you repent. You have to have a change of mind about where you at in light of the Lord Jesus Christ. How you're living your life. Not in a sense of, I'm going to try to be a better person. You can't. Bible paints it as slaves to sin. Handcuffed. You have to turn to Jesus Christ and trust him. Turn to him in repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of that, man is lost. Like I told you when I came up here this morning, brother, I didn't have a whole lot to say. But I do know this, that man is sinful, and Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And unless man have Christ, man is hidden in hell. And I just want to encourage us as the brethren to, as we walk in our life, that we begin to look at our neighbors and everyone around us and in a desperate situation that they need Christ, and that we not live our lives forgetting that in the midst of us going out and sharing the gospel, that we forget to look at the reflection and to make sure that as we're walking with the Lord that we put to death sin in our own lives. I'm going to pray, brother. Father, Lord, I thank you that I've been granted the right to come boldly unto your throne of grace by the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for my sin, for my brothers and sisters' sin. And, oh God, in the midst of all the things that are happening in this world, I pray, oh Father, that you might cause your people to be stirred and you might fill us with your spirit, that we might be those that you use to be a people that would comfort those that are hurting in the midst of pain and suffering that's taking place in this world. And also, Lord, that you might give us boldness to be truthful with those that are lost, that we might share that their sin is an offense against a holy God, and that must be repented of, and they must have you, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Savior. Lord, help us in the days ahead. Father, I pray that any that are lost, Lord, that you would not only be merciful towards them, Lord, but that you open their eyes and their hearts, Lord, that they might recognize their state before you, Lord, and that they might be granted repentance and faith, Lord, that they might be saved. Lord, I pray that you would begin to sweep a gulf of souls into your kingdom, O God. Yeah. Father, we need your help. We need your help, Lord, not to be gazing on those things that are trivial, but on Christ and on the brevity of life, Lord. Lord, I just thank you that you've been merciful and kind towards me and my family, Lord. Lord, help us in the days ahead. Lord, help our dear sister Christina and our brothers and sisters that are out there on the fields, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would bless the rest of this evening, bless our brother who's going to come up and share the word. Fill him with your spirit and with power. Lord, I just thank you for all of these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.